The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Be a part of 242 Day.
242 Day. Time to celebrate 242 Day. Proud to be a beacon in every way. 242 Day. Time to celebrate 242 Day. Proud to be a beacon in every way.
Demonstrate your beam and colors. Be patriotic, cause we bout to get loose. Someone say how loose. Loose like Bohemian Goose. February the 24th, 2023. Music, food, and entertainment happening this Friday. It's gonna be 10 beautiful colors displayed by beautiful people. Proud to be a Bohemian in love and service. Again, one people. Officially, we'll represent in every way. February the 24th is 242 Day. 242 Day. Time to celebrate 242 Day. Proud to be a Bohemian in every way. 242 Day. Time to celebrate 242 Day. Proud to be a Bohemian in every way.
Celebrate with us on the 24th of February, this Friday, 242 Day.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is 242 Day and it's time to celebrate. Again, my name is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about Bohemiano. I love that topic. As we talk about Bohemian citizenship, as we talk about proud, I is proud to be Bohemian. As we talk about the importance of citizenship, what we should be doing as citizens of the Bahamas, our responsibility, our duty of care, our worth. As we talk about what it is in terms of worth, in terms of psyche, in terms of celebration, in terms of, hey, this is who we is. And I'm proud to do that. And in order to have this conversation, I have Erin Green joining me, right? And I'm going to challenge her again today, right? Because we tend to argue back and forth on in regards to what is Bohemian. Is it possible to be true Bohemian versus Bohemian citizenship? Is there a difference, right? So once upon a time, Erin and I argued, right, about citizenship, where we were discussing whether a person, and watch me throw this word in there, and come around me again, right? Bohemian, are they true Bohemian like me, who being here from, my family being here from 1784, right? Surely I should have more rights, right? Surely when they, if they ever bring the Sovereign Wealth Fund, I should be getting more money from that. Surely if government giving out any benefits, right? Land and access to land, I should get it first. Not, I mean, I appreciate the term citizenship. I appreciate that that is a legal construct. And Erin, that's what Erin says, it's a legal construct, Nuri. And this is enacted by law. And if it's a legal construct enacted by law, those people who get citizenship equal to you. And this is where the conversation is going to be about. See, I'm baiting her now, right? I want some things, Erin. I want some things. I think I deserve things. And on this 242 day, right, when I say I celebrate and eating corned beef and grits and tuna and grits, right? Yeah. When I celebrate and I want some sauce, chicken's foot, and I want some that dry conch sauce and thing. I want those persons with names, when two mesh two names. Don't when you have like two nationalities joined together. What do you call that? Joint. Okay, them join together, Bohemians.
Yeah. I mean, let's use the word.
Them join together. Yeah. Mash up Bohemians. When you mash them two different ethnicities.
Like Greek
Bohemian.
Yeah.
You know? Like a Lebanese Bohemian.
Yeah.
Right? I want to know, should I say, hey, y'all can't be Lebanese no more today on my 242 day. You got to be strictly Bohemian. Ain't no prefix or suffix with your name. Mm-hmm. Your identity, your what do you call that? Ethnicity, mm-hmm. your heritage, mm-hmm. comes second fiddle during this time.
Boy, looky, that's a wonderful point, because I think first of all, if we're a sovereign nation, we could do everything the way we want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the first thing I think we should root in ourselves, is that we got this hookup culture And we always forget that we're in charge. And when you're in charge, you want to change, right? Mm-hmm. I'd suggest that we embrace it as opposed to try and avoid it, right? You have people saying things like, well, what is a Haitian Bahamian? How could you be Haitian and Bahamian, right? I say, let us devise from this moment on, right? That like the double barrel,
that's a name.
That the first is your cultural or, a cultural or ethnic identity, and the second is your political, legal identity, right? So when I say that I am Haitian Bahamian, what I'm saying is that I am a citizen of the Bahamas with Haitian ancestry and heritage. When I say I'm Lebanese Bahamian, what I'm saying is I'm a citizen of the Bahamas, but my people come from Lebanon, so I have Lebanese culture and heritage that I bring along with my Bahamian citizenship, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we could establish that the same way we could establish a sovereign wealth fund and the rules that come along with it.
See, 242 Day is a big day.
Yeah.
Right? We celebrating things Bahamian, similar to what we do for Independence Day.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, normally Independence Day, you say, man, you can't be celebrating anything else. It can't be no double barrel name, right? Because we said independence would define us.
Right.
Now, but this 242 Day, we supposed to be celebrating things that we like eat. The most popular breakfast food is spaghetti with egg in it.
Yeah.
People, Bahamians, eat spaghetti and egg in the spaghetti. And I'm trying to say, that can't be no Bahamian. How can we say, okay, let's celebrate things Bahamian, when a large population of us, Bahamians, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 generation Bahamians, like spaghetti mm-hmm. with
and
egg in
one
it.
One of the most popular entrees, like one of the most popular meals is crack conch. And we know that Bahamians of Greek descent invented crack conch, right? Like, so how do you reconcile with that? How do you then on independence say, well, no, you can't be a Greek Bahamian, even if one of the possibly the most popular Bahamian dish was created by Greek Bahamians? How you could tell me, how can you say on Independence Day, well, no, you can't come to this event as a Haitian Bahamian, even though right now the most popular breakfast dish is a dish from Haitian culture, right? That creates a problem, right? Like it creates something that is intolerable in your society. You confusing people, like you causing cognitive dissonance, right? Where you believe one thing so firmly despite all of the evidence that it ain't so. It's a problem. We should be allowed and should be able to recognize the other parts of ourselves as whole and valid and not challenging the other parts, right? People should be allowed to be Bahamian and celebrate their Greekness and all. In fact, we all go to the Greek festival. They just had the Greek festival this weekend.
Yeah, man, that was
2 days of people jam up because they love being a part of Greek culture, right?
Let me expand this.
Yeah.
As we celebrate 242 Day and we doing things that remind us of being Bahamian and we proud and we turn our flag colors and doing 242 things and the specials of the various restaurants and stores, right? Mm-hmm. I went downtown. I haven't been downtown in a while. I was buying a book, an African book there, right? And I noticed as I traversed downtown that a number of stores are now operated by, because I'm not sure what ethnicity they are, but and I'm judging them because they could be Bahamian, but they just seem to be Indian looking.
Right.
They seem to be Arab looking.
All right. So
let me set you up. And I'm trying to say, I'm sure these people must be Bahamian, mm-hmm. right? And I said, when I caught myself judging, mm-hmm. right? I said, no, Cecil. We as Bahamians, and that's especially how culture changes, mm-hmm. right? Must make space for a different kind of Bahamian once they add into our economy and our society. But I felt some kind of way. Judging. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, you see one or two Greek restaurants down there. All the restaurants must be Greek. I'm mm-hmm. not sure they have any Bahamian restaurants. And you see the
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Greek themed restaurants. Let's say that,
right?
Versus Bahamian themed restaurants.
Yes,
because these restaurants are more than likely operated and owned by
Bahamians.
Yes, right.
But it's themed Greek, and right. I'm talking about the cultural aspect. Right. As we embrace things, as we say we want to celebrate what is Bahamian.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that is there space to allow other types of Bahamian? And see, actually, Bahamian word is an operative word, but other types of Bahamian right. to embrace and participate.
Now, that particular example is, I can say it's special, right? Because we know in this industry what tends to happen is a foreigner will partner with a Bahamian. And it is not necessarily the Bahamian who will be the face of the business, right? Mm-hmm. It may be the foreigner who is the face of the business. But that does not mean that we don't have Bahamians of Indian, East Indian descent mm-hmm. who are operating mm-hmm. and owning businesses in the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. We have to make space for this. Now, at the same time, Cecil, I understand why we feel this way, right?
Okay, I can stop you then and ask you, why do we feel this way?
Well,
what way do we
feel? Okay, so watch this. Here I am. I'm a Bahamian, mm-hmm. right? It's 2023, and you tell me, look, Miss Green, your family been here, mm-hmm. right? But Miss Green, guess what? There are Chinese people who have been here from the 1700s as well, mm-hmm. right? There are Greek people who have been here, say, from the 1800s as well. Mm-hmm. How can you then say that they don't belong as much as you belong to this place? And how can you say that they don't have as much right to the Bahamian identity as you have to the Bahamian identity? In that space, right, then we then say, hey, the experiences of enslaved Africans coming to this place, being in this place, is different, even if only slightly different for some groups than those other groups. Mm-hmm. Africans were brought here enslaved. Mm-hmm. Other groups may have come and escaped persecution, like the Lutheran adventurers, but they came under their own speed.
Yes.
Indentured Indians may have been brought to this side of the world, mm-hmm. but it was not the same thing as chattel slavery. That's documented. We don't have to argue about that. Indentured servitude is not the same as chattel slavery. So I can understand who don't know how to get back to their homeland because they have no records mm-hmm. of where they're actually from. I can understand that group of people, descendants of enslaved Africans, clinging to the Bahamian identity because it is all that they have guaranteed. Even DNA, the DNA protocols, some of these companies are not actually providing accurate services for people of African descent due to the lack of data available or in their systems, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's harder for a person who's a descendant or a product of the transatlantic slave trade, right, in this side of the world, it's harder for them to find out who they are, who they for, and where they from. So we cling to the Bahamas. We claim an indigeneity that is reasonable because of the length of time we've been here. We've been here for 400 years. It's reasonable for us to say we're indigenous to this place. And it's reasonable for us to suggest mm-hmm. that we are indigenous in ways that other ethnic groups are not indigenous because they can trace their way back home. And many of us can't trace our way back home.
So you're saying basically this is our beginning because right. there's no step.
Right, because they attempted to erase the other steps. And so I say all of that to say that I can understand why when some of us go on Bay Street and we say, well, what are these Indians doing? Are they supposed to be here? And we never stop to think, but they could be Indian Bahamian. Mm-hmm. You know, we never stop to think it because of our experience. And so it's reasonable. It's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and we should always be aware of it and be prepared to engage it. Like Rasta says, try to overstand the situation. Mm-hmm. We got to acknowledge it.
I want to talk music next.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're good with music. We've been playing music all week.
Yeah.
But let me get this caller first.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the early 1900s, we played Calypso and Gombe.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm not sure what it is by definition that we play. But let me speak to this caller first. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, why don't we play Calypso anymore? Caller, turn on your radio so we can engage you.
What's up, guys?
It's good to hear you, man. Go ahead.
Good, good, good. Aaron, man, you always on par, but, you know, but the conversation as it relates to, you know, behemoths and, you know, and being the only people here, you know, it's a, we're a young nation, you know. And before 1973, before 1967, you know, the majority of the people in this country, you know, were black people. And not necessarily black people that born here. Black people that were brought here, whether you were brought here by the British, whether you migrated here through Haiti and Barbados, because at a particular time, you know, this was an English colony, and everybody were allowed to migrate. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the important part of the discussion that's missing. You know, the people that feels that they have a right to this land is people like myself who probably born here, but our grandparents those, or great-great-grandparents were brought here, mm-hmm. whether they were from America, mm-hmm. you know, from Barbados. Out of where do the Bahamians start is the question that I would like to be answered.
I'd let Aaron answer that. Thanks very much, Carl. I appreciate it. Where does Bahamian start? The caller mentioned that we are a young nation,
mm-hmm.
but this is an old country.
I was about to
we
say.
We have like the second oldest constitution, not a constitution,
parliament. Yeah.
Second oldest parliament in this hemisphere.
Yeah, right.
People come to us for certain things and say, well, we'll also go to the Bahamas and they'll explain why these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we appreciate how old
the Bahamas is.
The Bahamas is.
And how the ways that we constructed identity, like the ways that we determine who belonged and who didn't, have changed over the ways. And Cecil is talking about music. That's a particular way we get right into that. But one of the things I pulled from the caller, for me, I have a similar inquiry, right? And my inquiry is, when we're talking about organic Bahamian, right? Are we trying to identify in this modern politic, right? Like in this modern day, we trying to identify a political structure that doesn't feel to be Bahamian, like it feel like it belong, the allegiance belongs somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say to the caller, I appreciate your critique because I think there is a critique of modern politics that we need to make about who is making the decisions for us and where do their allegiance lie, right?
Let me read this text before we go to that music because I want something about it. I want you to respond. A Bahamian has a singular loyalty based on nationhood, shared culture, and genetic affiliation. There is no dual allegiances for a Bahamian side. From allegiance to God, a hyphenated Bahamian might be a Bahamian by law, but they are residents, they are not citizens. And I read that and think that there is a distinction between a black Bahamian and a white Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cultural difference. There's a celebratory difference. On Independence Day, white Bahamians go on the beach. This is how they celebrate independence. They like freedom. They expressing their independence. Say, man, this is a family day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take in my family on the beach and we can celebrate. Now, mind you, we might all eat souse,
mm-hmm.
right? And we might all eat fire engine, right? We might all eat stew fish. But there's a distinction between and nuances between the two cultures. But all like you could hear a Spanish Well accent and say, you from Spanish Wells, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or you from Abacoy,
yeah.
right? Because I hear it. I hear that you are different. Even though you're Bahamian.
I like to say that like white Bahamian sense of identity and Bahamianness, it doesn't just expand beyond politics. It ignores politics.
They ignore politics?
Yeah.
Explain that part.
They know that their identity is not wrapped up in politics. Like they don't have to be a part of a national government sponsored or state level event to celebrate their Bahamianness.
Mm.
To you know what I'm saying, to reconcile with it, to do things. Their identity is not wrapped up in that, in the politics of it. I'm going to laugh and say, of course they go on the beach, the first New Bahamians were the Lutheran adventurers, and they were called, right? Of course they go on the beach. That's their heritage. Mm-hmm. That's what sustained them when they first came to these islands. It would make sense, right? And so their celebration of their identity and being Bahamian is probably rooted in the culture of it and not in the politics of it. And nationality is the politics of it. Your heritage, what you eat, how you dance, that's the culture of it, right? And so the real question is, how do culture and politics come together to form nationhood and national identity? And should politics, should that political space hold the weight? Should they bear the not the burden, but should they have the authority to make the definitions for us? Or should culture generate those definitions? And I think, and I guess I'd say, I would offer that white Bahamians are, first of all, living here as free people longer than us, and they have established collectively that they can be Bahamians without a political definition.
Without being loyal to political allegiance.
Yeah. Now, they are, and then people, like I say, you know, maybe they're loyal to themselves. But maybe that's what you're supposed to do.
They clannish in families.
Well, maybe there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because if we're all clannish, then that becomes the system. And that becomes the cultural development. We all have a clan. We all have a tribe. We all do things as clans and tribes. Just because you have a clan and a tribe don't mean you all don't mix and do things.
I can bait you in, and I'm not sure if it's appropriate to talk about this on our 242 day whilst we celebrate in Bahamas, but we are celebrating the Bahamas, so that's why we're talking about these things. There are times when white Bahamians say, man, black Bahamians don't involve us. Every time we poke our head out to celebrate, to be independent, celebrate how we should, they remind them that, man, we're the majority, and you don't have a right to participate.
Okay, perfect. Mr. Thompson yesterday called in on a constitutional point, right? And it was a great discussion. And I want to say to white Bahamians, right, like as if I could be in charge of all white relations in the town, the government don't consider anybody. The political class can't consider anything outside of its own imagination. So if you're looking to a political construct to include you or to provide an inclusive space, you will never find it. The same way that more and more black Bahamians are telling the public, telling the government, this politics does not consider me, it does not involve me. That's why it's important to have alternatives to independence that are not politically defined or controlled or prescribed. Because if we then look to our cultural celebrations and we realize, oh no, white people is rush. Conky Joe people is rush.
Especially on Harbor Island. Apparently, they're rushing in bulks. I didn't know that. I did not know there's a large number of Conky Joe Bahamians who actually...
And not just that.
Junkanoos.
Let's talk rake and scrape band.
And rake it, boy. Let's go to the caller, and I'm going to ask you, you know what driftwood is? There's some people in the Bahamas who's called people like me who come from Nassau or driftwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if you know what driftwood is, because they seem like they don't include me. They say, you as others.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to talk about that. But let's go to caller. Caller, are you able to hear us?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight some facts. You know, I don't think, well, you know, I agree with your concept as far as the white Bahamians being Bahamians also. Because that would be very selfish. But what I hate is the fact that we have allowed the Caucasoids to tell us if we are free, to tell us who we are, to shape our history. You highlighted what slavery has done as far as changing the names and deculturizing us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you delve into history, you should know, we all knew that the Africans were in America before the Europeans, all right? Even before Amerigo Vespucci, who America's named after. But then when you look at the schism that came subsequently, I think the Indians, the Seminole Indians was one of the only remaining tribes that didn't surrender to the British, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Continental Army. I can't remember which one they sided with. But I think they were difficult to dislodge, and they would make unethical attacks on the troops as they moved through, and then lodge themselves back into the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they were able to that were escape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's reports that some of the Indians were already black. So would this suggest that even if I'm incorrect, and the slaves who escaped from the north, they went to the south and they were treated good by the Indians, but it is reported that the Indians had slaves too, but the chieftain had like a feudal system. So the slaves were allowed to live there and miscegenate and farm and just pay like a feudal system type mm-hmm. to the chieftain. And so even if these Indians migrated to the Bahamas subsequently or during this time where they were known to come from Florida into the islands, right? And then why I said that is because I was always told by my auntie, who was much older than me, she's about 80 now or so, and she was always saying that my grandmother's father was a Red Bay's Indian
mm-hmm.
and miscegenated with them. So the concept of us having Indian blood, if you look at my family features, basically so.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is it's not far-fetched, Aaron, what you and C.A. knew were saying. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the question then becomes, if a hog is born in a cow pen, does that make him a cow?
Mm-hmm.
And then to debunk all of this separatism, we know Nikki Kelly, Catherine Kelly wrote an article, a brilliant article years ago in the, I can't remember, the Punch or the Tribune or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it highlighted the symposium of the fact that everybody came out of Africa as far as the DNA symposium showed. This is a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why they have so much different features. And the African phenotype, typical features are not limited to just broad nose and big lips. You see the people from Ethiopia, from north to south, they have different features, sharp nose, sharp features. There's a demographic, there's a difference in features, phenotypical features of the African population. And so it doesn't feed of anything. It just shows that everybody came out of Africa. And,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know where the headache, why everybody have a problem accepting that. This has nothing to do with me. So we you know, if, like I said, if a pig is born in a cow pen, that doesn't mean a cow.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the same thing with Africans. We are born over here, but we know we are of African descent. And even before the slave trade, Africans were already being miscegenated by Arabs who were already miscegenated with Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
And so this basically is just a climate biology thing. And so nobody's, I mean, we are superior physically and because of the sun and the melanin, et cetera. This is why we have bigger pineal glands. And they knew this. They knew this for centuries. But what they did was they reversed the history on us, and they have us fighting against one another and not understanding one another and have us believing that they are superior when we know the history of Europe and London and Liverpool, et cetera, et cetera. Bless up.
Thank you
very much. I'm going to try and move to music, and I even though I have so much other topic, right? But I, whilst I was traveling, some Bohemians call me Driftwood.
Yeah.
Saying I ain't them.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give a definition of what they meant. I can tell you the island. I can tell you the island.
Yeah, no,
right?
I sure the island is, was it Habaco?
No, it wasn't Habaco.
Habaco
just said you need to go back. They don't
need No, because they need all the wood. They can't call you Driftwood. They
right?
can't
There's the Bimini and Berry Island people.
Oh, yeah, well, I could appreciate that. Remember the younger, there's a little anecdote. The young lady has a question, like, where's Bimini? She said Bimini's not. No, she said she wanted to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess her parents asked her where. She said she wanted to go somewhere outside of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And they must have asked her, well, where you want to go? And she said Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to go to Bimini.
He said, if you got to catch a plane, you can't be in the Bahamas no more.
Right.
I understand.
Okay, so driftwood is when you mm-hmm. from an island and then you come to other people's island.
Mm-hmm.
Like you drift on the waves there. You know, you wasn't born here. You ain't come from here. You drift here on the waves. You was driftwood.
I might be driftwood for true then.
No, man, I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like what it conjures. But I also can appreciate
mm-hmm.
that people on family islands in an archipelago mm-hmm. area, and they are removed from resources, especially if you come from New Providence. You come from where all the resources are.
Yes.
Why you coming here? And like, why you drifting in? Like, you ain't got nothing. If you're coming from Nassau, you better come to build something and help us out.
Long Island people like that. So if you from Nassau, you ain't no Long Islander. Even though you have the Cartwright name.
Yeah,
no?
Looking, and this,
they say, you own no boroughs. You got to come up.
This can become problematic. See, we only saw it in the midst of the pandemic when there was restriction on inter-island travel. I could be honest with you. I'm still very upset at the fact that it happened, but more importantly, the fact that nobody challenged it,
mm-hmm.
right? I should not be restricted between moving between islands. And that's at a national political level. And at the cultural level now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to fight, but I'm willing to fight.
It should be a willing fight, and there's something to come. But let me read this.
Yeah.
And I can bait you with a question, and we have to go straight to the caller after this, right? Yeah. So pause for the caller.
Marinate,
because I want you to respond to this. So good morning, Aaron and CA. I am what you would call a white bohemian. Let's start it out. I am a white bohemian. But they put it, I am what you would call a white bohemian.
Right, now pause, because look.
There's a bait.
There's Long Island Conky Joe.
Yeah, no, we're getting there.
There's a bait. They're baiting you.
He said, I did my DNA and I'm 18% Nigerian.
Yes.
So I want to know, is she still white?
No, she Conky Joe. I mean, okay, technically she could still be white, right? Because we can, after the call, we can get into the definition of race and whiteness, right? But that's like what we call, I thought that's what we call Conky Joe.
Because you know, I won 400 Irish.
Yeah, and I'm a, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather's a descendant of the king at the time. It was in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they tell me.
That's what they tell you.
That's why I tell people, let me row the royal family.
Yeah, because you can.
Because we family. I could row them.
Yeah. God save the king. Let's go to the next caller.
Leela Green.
Good morning,
sir. Go ahead.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me, ma'am?
Yeah, ma'am, loud and clear.
Oh, okay, good. All right. There's no alternative to July the 10th, 1973. Now, this day, which is February the 24th, I did call you yesterday and I asked you, what is the significance of it?
Mm-hmm.
What has occurred on February the 24th in the Bahamas that it should be celebrated? Or are we just picking a number? We had an area code 809, which is for the entire Caribbean. We have one called 242. Is it because it's an area code for the Bahamas? What is the significance of that to the national development of people? Now I hear you have people telling about wearing your flag, wearing your national colors. The flag is what? A symbol for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We always had this geographical location. When we were a colony, right into the time we became an independent nation. This construct that you talk about, you have your constitution, Ms. Green. The constitution speaks to one political party. Two, it speaks to other associations, meaning everything else outside of political parties and trade unions, because the constitution says, in particular, political parties, in particular, trade unions, in particular, other association. That means everything, the churches, the lodges, the schools, all them other all those other entities, they come under association. Nothing could supersede July the 10th, 1973. If you want to have a day you want to celebrate, that's your right. I'm not even getting into that. Take something to try to put it alongside July the 10th, an ordinary day like today, which is February the 24th, and try to say Bahamians have to have an alternative. Alternative to what? We are a nation. July the 10th, 1973 is when we became an independent, sovereign, democratic state. That's in the Constitution.
So let me...
Pardon?
No, go ahead. Finish your point.
No, I don't think from the Constitution... See, we got to see it constitutionally sound. Is February 24th constitutionally sound? What's the difference of it?
So let me bait Aaron on that.
Okay.
July 10th is about a birth of a nation. That's nationhood. This February 242 is a celebratory time of that nation. You know when you have a birthday, but then the anniversary comes on?
Yeah.
And you know when you want to celebrate culture? Because Independence Day have nothing to do with culture, right? This 242 is about celebrating we self, I think. A day set aside to say, hey, what about us that you like? Let's talk about being Bahamian. Let's talk about the aspects of being Bahamian. Not citizenship, but nuances. But what you say to that? So we go to the next one.
All right. I just love the position, right? I think that we need to have the independence papers, 50 questions for 50 years, right? That this issue should be on the table. I think that what he speaks about, right, is really focused on the tension between the past and the present, right? The idea that there is no alternative to independence. So we're independent. We still had this geographical bound. Now, some people will say, well, remember when the Turks and Caicos was a part of us, right? But when before we were independent, the geographical bound existed. When we became independent, the geographical bound remained the same. Our political status, though, changed, right? And so I think that that is of value in the conversation. But I think if we look at the tensions and the possibilities between the present and the future, right? The Bahamas may not always be an independent nation. We may decide to let the U.S. take us on as a territory.
Again.
We may decide to go back to Britain and say, look, we want to be a British territory, right? These things can change. China, the whole world politics may change. And then we become a protectorate of China. But the islands will remain the same. That boundary, that definition of that boundary will be the same. And perhaps that then validates it.
I know history said that when they mentioned North Carolina, they said North Carolina and the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahama Islands. We were part of the law proprietors and we were part of the United States. But that's a different era. And people forget that we once were part of them too.
You know,
and things change.
That takes us back to the earlier conversation white, quote-unquote, white Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
It's the loyalists that were the gentrifiers, not the Lutheran adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say not all white people are the same, right? It was the loyalists that were the gentrifiers and not the Lutheran race. See, racism is mutable. It changes over time, geography, and language. Ancestry, DNA is immutable.
Mm.
Your DNA is your DNA. That line of ancestors, that don't change, right? So I think it's better for us to always talk about ancestry and heritage versus race, because race can change. That person who said, look, I'm a white Bahamian.
Still? Bahamian.
People identify me as white Bahamian, but I'm 18% Nigerian. I want to say to you, that's fine. Because race changes over time. When the category of race was created, it was created by Europeans attempting to subjugate other Europeans.
Remember when Greeks were not white? But that's a different story altogether.
And Greeks are not... Greeks may be white in the Bahamas, but they're not white in other places in the world.
Things subjective. But let's go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear, but you cut me off.
Yeah, because we got to continue the conversation, but I'll give you some more time. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, I had a good conversation with Green yesterday, and all I'm simply saying is, what did the Prime Minister say is the significance of February the 24th for him to make a proclamation? I heard a portion of it. I didn't hear the complete thing of it.
And
he quoted a portion of the preamble to the fact. What is the significance of it? What's the connection? What did he say it is?
So what we'll do is, right after this short break, I'm going to have Aaron pull it up and read it.
That would be nice.
And we can explain what this proclamation is about. And the proclamation is about celebrating us. Not a historical significance or anything. It's a significance of celebration. So that's what we can talk about on the next side of the break. And this has been Guided Radio in the AM. We listening and celebrating what is Bahamian. How we celebrating us. Today is 242 day. And we want you to do 242 type things. Right? 242 push-ups. Or 24 push-ups. At least get some discounts, man. I see the Bush Cook having big time discount. Right? And I need to go there. And if your shop is having some discounts, call in. I'd be happy to read and let people know what's happening. But it's been Guided Radio. We're going to be right back.
The Roland Simonet, the first Bahamian premier, Sir Gerald Cash, and they are Brennan too. Oh, Mr. Carlton Francis, and Sir Etienne de Butte.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. On the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think the room, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what we wait on then, let's go earn some grocery money.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you'll always call J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2023 is International Women's Day, a day celebrated globally as a focal point in the women's rights movement, bringing attention to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. Equity isn't just a nice to have, it's a must have. A focus on gender equity needs to be a part of every society's DNA, and it's critical to understand the difference between equity and equality. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly embrace equity. It's not just something we should say, not something to just write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in, unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to embrace equity. Guardian Media wants you to celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. Embrace equity.
The Office of Alumni Affairs at University of the Bahamas, in partnership with its Alumni Association, invite you to attend the annual Alumni Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony. Come and enjoy a night of elegance, nostalgia, and celebrations on Saturday, 25th of February, as the university honors alumni who are making a difference and contributing to the growth and development of the Bahamas, like Dr. Camille Smith, Aurelia Pinder, Ariana Roberts, Troy Clark, and Troy Strawn. That's University of the Bahamas Annual Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony, Saturday, 25th February at 7 p.m. at Crypto Isle on East Bay Street. You don't want to miss it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
For today, proud to be a beaming in every way. Two for today, time to celebrate. Two for today, proud to be a beaming in every way.
Your beaming colors be patriotic, cause we bout to.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and of course I have Aaron Green with me as we celebrate 242 day, right? And on the break, I was telling Aaron there's such a thing as a Long Island Red.
Yes.
And there's such a thing as an Elytra yellow.
Look here, and
there's such a thing as an Abaco white. a Spanish Well White, a Nassau Conky Joe, a Spanish Well and Harbor Island Conky Joe, and they're all different, all Bohemians, and all mean something.
And while we're here refusing to talk to diversity, there's a whole national Commonwealth of the Bahamas Red Woman Committee.
The Red Woman Committee?
Because there's all kinds of different red women. There's Abaco Red, there's Eleuthera Red, there's Exuma Red, there's Long Island Red, right? And then you get further down into the south, and then you got your reds coming out of there that are looking Atlas like mahoganies.
Red. And but you know Red Woman's problem. I just said you said Red Woman's problem.
Listen, I don't know they if problems. You're prepared to be called before the National Commonwealth of the Bahamas Red Woman Committee.
I understand. But I want you to read the proclamation. And I see we have another caller here. Let's get this through. Because I want to talk about music. What happened to Gumbe? What happened to our Gumbe music?
So let me read. I'm going to read part of the proclamation. It's very long. I think this is the most important part here. And whereas the journey towards independence was punctuated by several significant and historical events prior to the attainment of independence, including the Burma Road Riot, the General Strike, Black Tuesday, the Women's Suffrage Movement, and majority rule. And whereas the Commonwealth of the Bahamas will observe its 50th anniversary of independence on the 10th of July, 2023, with events locally and internationally leading up to the Bahamas' Golden Jubilee. And whereas the overarching responsibilities of the National Independence Secretary is to inspire and inculcate the spirit of patriotism and civic values throughout the Bahamas while encouraging Bahamians to use their creativity and ingenuity in promoting Bahamian pride. And so, Sir, Mr. Thompson, that is, I think, the impetus, right? That is why 242 Day. And just quickly before we go to the music and the call, I want to say I appreciate the tensions, right? Because what you represent is what you have presented to me is the dire need to continuously weigh the tensions between the past and the present. But let us not miss the opportunity to explore the possibilities, right, that arise from the tensions between the present and the future.
I just see it as a celebration. Let's go to the caller so we can go back to music. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Producer Pasha, call it there for me, please.
Because if we get them into 242 Day,
yeah,
eventually they'll
matriculate.
Yeah.
They'll move.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
My pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Nuri.
How are you doing, Sparky? Go ahead.
Yeah. When I come to the stage and take back, I always ask this question. My mother, on my mother's side, has a French name, which is the pooch, which is also referred to as the play. That is Ida the Pooch and Leon the Pooch. All indications are their family came down from France. My father, on my father's side, has Fountain, which is also French, which is Fountain. They called my father's family, the Hilltoppers, lived upon Hawkins on West Street Hill. My mother's family, Ida the Pooch and them, was on the corner of Camp Road and Shirley Street. Both of them have French names. I was born, my mother and father, had they been alive now, they'd been 103 years old. Both my mother and my father was born in the year 1920. I was born in 1951 in Chippenham, New Providence. I was not born in Nassau. I hear a lot of y'all say that y'all born in Nassau.
That's where the PMH is.
Both of y'all are not born in Nassau. Y'all born in New Providence.
What about us said who where the law say you have to be born at PMH? That's why we say Nassau?
If you were born in PMH on the south side, you was on the outside of the city of Nassau. Because the south side of Shirley Street is a divided line. You was on the south side of the city of Nassau.
You sure it's Shirley Street?
City of Nassau goes north from Shirley Street to the waterfront.
Not to the water tower?
No, that's still behind New Providence. That's New Providence.
No, I'm saying the Charlottetown don't stretch to behind the water tower?
No. New Providence comes down through Drew Street, Frederick Street, up Shirley Street, to Church Street, and out to the waterfront. Nassau Street, Meeting Street, Blewett Road, behind Government Hill House Wall, through St. Gregory's Arch, to Frederick Street, up Shirley Street, to Church Street, to the waterfront.
So you mean
anything on the south side of
even government
over into New Providence?
You trying to tell me Government House is not in Charlottetown? It's not in Nassau City proper?
No, you hear what I say? I say the back of the Government House wall.
Yeah, but that's
from
behind. That's well.
No, no. Listen. What I'm saying. I said from it comes through. What that they call that school there behind Government Wall from Blue Hill Road behind Government Wall, the backside of Government Wall, onto Blue Hill Road, then up to Gregory's. Arch.
Okay, that's
then
right.
You go east of to Frederick Street and east up to Shirley Street. Okay. And see, the capital city has to also have a cathedral. Notice inside New Providence, you have Christ Church Cathedral and St. Francis Cathedral.
And that's good. I need to have a history show to define where Nassau is. So when Sparky calls, he can go in detail. Because he always reminds us that and where our key is. And I always appreciate that because we need that reminder.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have 3 minutes now and I want to talk about music.
Yeah.
Right? What happened to Bohemian music and why has Bohemian music changed? Right? Once upon a time, we were defined as the home of Gumbe.
Yeah.
Gumbe was our music, which was a couple strings off of Calypso.
Yeah.
Right? But now, I'm not sure what is our national music identity.
Reagan Scrape and John Canoe.
Reagan Scrape is Turks Island, though.
No, Reagan Scrape is indigenous people.
But even in Guyana, they have Reagan Scrape.
Yeah. All indigenous people have a form. We call ours Reagan Scrape.
But
call
we were the
different.
Only nation that had Gumbe. To here, the Bahamas.
Gumbe is a style of drum, like all the African tribes have their own.
About that,
no,
guitar
I know, but thing. But it's more than Gumbe is more than just the guitar thing, mm-hmm. right? I think the root of it, Gumbe is a drum beat. That's mm-hmm. ours. Nobody else got that drum beat. Mm-hmm. That's our drum beat. Sounds are built up off of that. What I find fascinating about Gumbe, the musical form, is that all kinds of people from the region was performing Gumbe, mm-hmm. like if. Not just Bahamians, mm-hmm. right? And the way the rules about who could perform the music was different from today, right? Like who could sing Bahamian music and who couldn't? Album called Calypso Madam, right? Mm-hmm. That features at least two Bahamian artists, Maureen Duvalier, aka Mama Calypso Mama, and Eloise Lewis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also features Miriam Makeba and Maya Angelou.
Anyway, we got to continue this conversation. Yeah, this has been Guiding Radio in the AM. We celebrating 242 Day and everything Bohemian. That's why we was talking about all of these things.